Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube, like this episode, sign up for the newsletter, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. The Huskers are 4-1. What are you waiting for, Common Fans? Get to the Common Fan website and get your fix, your Husker football fix, all day, every day. Also, Common Fans, you know game day isn't complete without delicious Nebraska beef. And if you really want to upgrade your spread this season, Oak Barn Beef has got you covered. They ship premium Nebraska-raised beef straight from their family farm to your front door. Steaks, roasts, ground beef, you name it. Order online at oakbarnbeef.com. That's oakbarnbeef.com. And make every tailgate or watch party a little more memorable. Friend of the program, Brandon Vogel, is back with us. Speaking of getting your Husker fix, go to thecounterread.com. Subscribe right now. You can get the best Husker coverage all year round, brought to you by Mr. Vogel. How are you, Brandon?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back, guys. These are starting to feel pretty friendly and familiar, so always happy to hop on.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, it is our pleasure. And thank you for saying that's very kind of you to say. It's all despite
checks
Jeff,
in the mail.
Yeah. It's all despite Geoff being part of the whole operation, but
he didn't chip in for the check.
Watch him out.
Hey, let's get right to it. So, Brandon, it's funny because we recorded our sort of Michigan State game recap episode like a few hours after the game. So I think we're all still feeling pretty jazzed about the win, and also just we all had whiplash from the roller coaster that was that game. And so we talked about, you know, everything that happened and all the ups and downs and the sort of the offense and needing to keep Dylan upright and the special teams and all that. As I've had time to decompress and read some more coverage and think about the game more, I actually kind of think maybe the most important storyline coming out of that game is the defense and how, like, you know, let's set aside Akron and HCU because whatever, but Cincinnati, Michigan State, that was the closest I felt like. I mean, if you think about rules teams from 23 and 24, they had a lot of issues, but defense usually wasn't one of them. That felt like the closest to what we've seen from Matt Rule's teams in game five here in 2025. What do you think about that, Brandon?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I came out of the Michigan State game. It was a weird one. And I've had these sorts of games before where, like, Nebraska got the win. That's all that matters. Bottom line, and you know, it was almost a 17-point win. So it was kind of like, well, why does something like stand out to me about this? And obviously the pass protection. Like, kind of my main takeaway in the immediate aftermath of the game was, I don't know if Nebraska can protect the passer to be as good as I think this team has the potential to be. Softened on that a little bit as I, you know, went through a rewatch and heard the coaches talk this week, and specifically on the rewatch, the defense jumped out even more. And I thought they played pretty well watching it live. DC John Butler said this week, and you know, the rep for Maryland, you're going on the road, you better pack your defense. It's kind of the first time, I think, this season where I felt like, yeah, maybe Nebraska can just pack its defense and be pretty good. Early in the year, you know, they've been pretty blitz heavy. They're pretty aggressive, as we've seen. And they kind of weren't getting those negative plays. I didn't think they were seeing the reward of the risk there. That's changed. They're getting it now. 12 tackles for loss against the Spartans, 2 interceptions, another takeaway on special teams. So it's getting there. They're becoming a havoc defense, which I thought is where they needed to get.
Yeah, totally. Brandon, you mentioned it was a weird game. And so maybe some of that plays into this, but you know, I same as TJ took in, you know, all the post game coverage and I did a rewatch and, you know, I'm kind of struck by how, I guess how upset or how disappointed some Husker fans are. I guess it's kind of a style points thing. And I guess I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. I mean, we've talked with you about, you know, kind of the mental hurdles of this program and having to clear those and all the one score losses. And Saturday really felt like we've seen this movie before. I know how this is going to end. This is going to be a disappointing loss to a team that we should have beaten. And they flipped it and they got the job done and they won. And they think a lot, I see a lot of Husker fans, and granted, you know, don't go to Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, to see like everyone's post game thoughts all the time. Cause you know, we're even manic in the moment hours afterwards, but I'm just struck by how many people are so negative and they can't just say, hey, we're really happy with the win. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, my primary thought is I might be the wrong guy to ask because the way I tend to watch these things. So when Nebraska was trailing, you know, in the third quarter there, and I kind of felt this way at halftime. So you jump out immediately to 14-0 lead. You get all the momentum, and then the offense just stalls. The wind, you know, we have to mention the wind. It's contractually required for that game. But I think there were +2 in takeaways in the first half even, or maybe they're just +1. But I looked at that, and I was like, 14-7, like, you earned more than that, and it's not. And that gets you in trouble in the Big Ten. And then, you know, we saw what happened during the third quarter. Like at that point, which I kind of was probably the nadir of that game for most fans, it reminded me of 2019 Northwestern, which at the time, a couple of our staff writers, I think, were ready to fight me. That was a game Nebraska got a late interception and kicked a field goal despite not having a field goal kicker, wobbled one through another windy day to win.
Sorry to interrupt you. Yes, 13-10. And Tim Brando was on the call and Wandale scored on a screen pass, I think. And Brando, I just remember Brando's like, Wandale. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I came out of that game and Nebraska needed it. You know, this was 2019, similar to 2025, and that team had some expectations, was expected to take a step, and they needed a win. But I was just like, guys, this is not a good result. And it's so one of the luxuries I think I have is like I can kind of have that remove, or maybe it's a weakness, who knows. This one with Nebraska, the way they finished it didn't feel quite that dire as that one. So should you just be happy with a win? I think so. But you know, when you've got a team that's 3-1 coming in and gets to 4-1, like I don't see that going away, because like the expectations are kind of here and pretty much earned, which is different than something we've seen in the recent past.
Fair enough.
I think our motto here, at least for the time being, is celebrate every W. But I mean, I understand, you know, when you stall out like that, like I'll admit too, like I was with Owens we've seen this story before. I thought for sure that we were going to lose that game. I would have put my money on that. But I think that's what sets us apart from years past is we rallied back and we put that behind us and actually took over. So that was kind of refreshing to see too. Brandon, there is a question I want to talk about that doesn't pertain necessarily to play on the field. But I don't know if you noticed on social media, there are some reports about offensive lineman Henry Witowski and saying that basically letting the world know that he's had people reach out to him on social media directly, like direct messages. And whether that's, I don't know if it's harassment or if it's just suggestions. And I get it. In this day and age, everybody thinks they're a coach. We've all played Madden. We've all had our college football PlayStation dynasties. So everybody thinks that they're an armchair quarterback now. But I guess the real question is what the hell is wrong with people?
Yeah, that was an enjoyable moment from the press conference this week, I thought, because credit to Litovsky for saying it like it is and the way that he feels about it. I think his line was something close to, you know, don't take advice from somebody you wouldn't trade places with. And I was like, ouch. Yeah. If you were somebody who was in Henry Litovsky's DMs, don't do that. I understand the frustration. In the Michigan State game preview, I wrote and looked really silly afterwards, wrote that this isn't the game to measure Nebraska's improvement against the pass rush against, because Michigan State didn't have one. Like, you know, coming into that game, it had been pretty rough for the Spartans in terms of getting after the passer. So to see Nebraska give up 5 sacks against that group, you know, I was kind of like, oh, this is pretty rough. But yeah, don't tweet at the players.
I was simply just asking him if they had enough Duke jock straps for the entire team. That's all I was asking.
I hear it. It comes out. It was Jeff all along.
Oh my God, Jeff. Message to common fans. Don't message players on social media. Don't tag them. Don't at them. Don't whatever players on social media. I've got the next question. It looks like you're a little bit frozen. Brandon, can you hear us? All right. We may. I think Brandon's going to
establish reconnection here.
Yeah, establish reconnection. Seriously, like the way Litovsky talked about that, guys, it sounded like it was a lot of people DMing him on Twitter.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. And that's like one of those things that, like, I guess I don't really think about that. Like back when we were growing up, you didn't have any instant contact with athletes or coaches or anything like that. And now it's just so easy to just, in one way or the other, find somebody and find a way to interact with them directly. And I can't believe it has to be said that we should probably just leave them alone.
Yeah, right. Just because you're capable of doing that, it doesn't mean you should. I mean, we've even referenced on here.
Doesn't mean you should, just because you can.
Right. We've even referenced on here, like, you know, now these kids, yeah, they're college kids, but yeah, they're getting paid now. Well, they can be criticized, but you don't need to go directly at them. And I saw somebody on Twitter say this. Maybe it was our buddy Fight, Fight Can Write, Dave Fight, said, you know, if it's just a reminder, if you wouldn't say it right in front of them to their face, don't do it on social media.
Yeah. 100%. Well, and I think it was. You know, Chattel, I feel like I've heard make this joke where, like, you know, it's now it's easy to do. Like, no one would ever say it to a big 300-pound strong, you know, Nebraska football player in person. You know,
you get
smacked in the face or whatever. But of course, it's easy to do from the comfort of your phone or your computer.
I think Tyson had a quote about that back in the day. Something about, like, social media has had you people, like, forget what it's like to get punched in the face or something like that. So. Yeah.
He's got a lot of quotes about.
He's got some good quotes.
Well, the other thing that drives me nuts is, listen, common fan, even like somebody who's like a bad, quote unquote, bad player out there for Nebraska is doing it at a level that almost none of us have. Right.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And if those who have done it, if Tommy Frazier's got a message for Dylan Raiola, he knows how to relay that. He's not sliding into his DMs, right? And so it drives me absolutely insane that anyone would ever think that that's a good idea to DM a player or at them or tag them or whatever it's called. Welcome back, Brandon.
Thank you. My apologies.
No problem at all. So you've mentioned it a couple of times, Brandon, and I want to go back to it. And you wrote about, by the way, counterread.com. Check out all of Brandon's great stuff at the Counter Read. Again, that's counterread.com. On the counterread.com, Brandon, you wrote about Nebraska's inability to protect Dylan. You've commented on it tonight already. You even said, you know, Nebraska allowing 5 sacks against Michigan State might have been one of the more surprising results around college football after Penn State losing to an 0-4 UCLA team. I guess my question for you is, why do you think they've had such trouble with this? And I know, like, coaches have commented, it's not so clear cut. It's not always the O-line. Maybe a running back missed in pass protection, or maybe Dylan held the ball too long sometimes. There's a little more to it. But I think it's fair to say, coming into the season, and I would never say this in anyone's DMs, but coming into the season, maybe we expected the O-line. The O-line's a veteran unit. The two transfers they added are veteran guys, one from Notre Dame, one from Alabama. And I think there was just like, not just like optimism, but sort of just a taking it for granted that the O-line would be one of the better units on the team. So curious what your thoughts are on why Dylan's getting sacked so much. And then I guess as an extension of that, what do you think about the offensive line play so far?
Yeah, so I think I truly do think, and I've tried to be careful in that story you referenced to mention it's Nebraska's ability to protect the passer, which is like comprehensive. So that's blitz pickups from running backs, that's the tackles, that's the interior, and that's the quarterback's ability to realize when he has time to try and make something happen, and when he needs to just kind of take the simple throw that's there. So, and they've struggled in all three of those areas at times. That said, with the offensive line, I was pretty bullish on that group coming in too. I thought it had a chance to be top half of the Big Ten, and you know, still more than half the season left, so we'll see how it goes. But that isn't where I'd put them now, based on what we've seen. So it was interesting. Matt Rule in his podcast last week was asked a really good question about, you know, when it comes to the portal, like if you're budgeting this like an NFL team, like what positions are the most important? And quarterback was, of course, number one, tackles too. And it's just one of those positions. And we've seen Nebraska make changes there. You know, the initial depth chart that came out had different leaders listed than the guys who played most of the snaps there. It's one of those positions where it's a big ask. There's a reason those guys are so valued. And to some degree, it's a position where either you got them or you don't. So, and, you know, I think based on shuffling at that position, Nebraska can't definitively say like, yep, we went out, we got tackle and we put him there, and he's doing exactly what we had hoped. So it's kind of a combination of all those things.
Okay. Well, we've talked about the defense. We've talked about the offensive line. I mean, clearly there's no argument to be made here that the special teams unit, surprisingly enough, it's probably made, I think, the biggest strides so far for this season. So Brandon, as the professional of our Common Fan podcast here, when do we start discussing building Mike Eckler a statue? But there's a real question. There's a real question behind that, though. I would say, is he the best hire or the best change that that coach has made, the coach Rule's made?
I mean, there's, it certainly looks that way now. So the FEI ratings, sure, one of the many power ratings that I look at each week, has Nebraska number one in some specific special teams categories. Not number one overall, but number one in a couple of them. Think about where Nebraska is coming from, not just from last year, but from the last 5, 6, 7 years. Yeah, that Mike Eckler hire set up by Will Compton, you know, it was the guy that, When Nebraska had an opening, you're like, oh yeah, go get Eckler, because the dots were easy to connect. But there were no dots between Rule, or there was no line, direct line between Rule and Eckler. But he, you know, took the interview, and here we are. And the results have been, frankly, pretty shocking. It would have been fair to expect, I think, some improvement. I kind of said all offseason, if they can get back to like the median or the average.
Average, yeah.
That's a really good year. They've been better than that so far. Is he the best hire Rule's made? I think, and this requires looking between the lines a little bit more right now, but I think Holgorsen might be in that discussion. Based, and Nebraska's 1-1 over its last two, but it's been right in the neighborhood of 30 points in both of its Big Ten games, which is a key number. And then you also, I think you can go back to the front, to the very start. Tony White was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
Eckler matched those. So, I mean, that's one coordinator for each facet of the game. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Well, Brandon, switching gears and looking forward, you know, we always say that our future is bigger than our past. So let's look forward to Maryland. You know,
hold on, Matt, who says that? We don't say that. Who says that?
Oh, my father's always said it. I always say that.
Okay, good. I know the common fans don't really say that. I love it. We should start saying it. I would welcome us saying that. Yeah. Well, okay. Sorry.
You made
we
that
can
up,
start
didn't
now.
You? Sorry. Start now. Up, didn't you?
Our future's bigger than our past. Go.
I wish I just made it up, Jeff. I'm not that good. Well, as far as Maryland goes, I think Brandon, you know, we at least before the season, you know, Maryland kind of seemed, for lack of a better term, kind of seemed like a dumpster fire. You know, we had last year, I know Mike Locksley said that something to the effect that he had lost the locker room, you know, so it's, to me at least, you know, you look at the schedule and I think that's a little bit of it, but you look at, you know, how they've played this year, they pretty much had Washington beat on Saturday before they kind of choked themselves. What do we know about Maryland and what should we be looking for on Saturday?
Yeah, they've been, even with the loss and, you know, dropping a 20-3 lead to Washington, I'll be interested in kind of where they're at, specifically for the reason you mentioned. You know, Loxley said last year they kind of lost the locker room.
Stay safe on the roads with Rain-X Vision Beam Wiper Blades, now at Menards. For over 40 years, Rain-X has provided drivers with products to outsmart the elements. Their Vision Beam Wiper Blades are easy to install and are designed to provide a smooth, streak-free wipe every time. Save big money on all Rain-X products now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. He had a bunch of success through September, which is kind of what Maryland does. And then things flip in October for them typically. And coming into the year, I didn't have very high expectations for the Terps. I didn't love kind of their coordinator changes that they made. Shows what I know, I guess. But I think what we know about them for this upcoming Nebraska game is when Nebraska has the ball, it's going to be a real strength-on-strength matchup. They lead the Big Ten in sacks, which would be the number that everyone, you know, cites this week. And yeah, Nebraska, that's a scary thought given what we've seen from Nebraska in Big Ten play so far. But they're also a really good pass defense, just in general. It's sort of similar to Cincinnati. They really keep the explosive plays down. So if that's the case, can Nebraska kind of pass protect well enough? For Dylan Raiola, like, there's no question about his ability to kind of complete throws at a very high clip. I think that becomes kind of Nebraska's play going forward. Probably be one of the foremost keys to the game, in my opinion, just how Nebraska moves the ball through the air. Offensively, Maryland's got a freshman quarterback who's been better than expected, I think, and expectations were pretty high. They don't have much of a run game, and a passing game isn't as big play as we've kind of gotten used to, I think, from Maryland, but it's an athletic team that's hurting a little bit. Mike Loxley's press conference this week was, I would call it chippy, with the local media, asking why everybody was so negative with them sitting at 4-1. So it'll be interesting. I think that's probably the other primary key is like what's Maryland's headspace.
Right.
Love a good chippy press conference. speaking of Maryland, I don't know. I feel like in today's day and age, especially on the Husker program, it's like people look for things to complain about. People just get pissed for no reason or get concerned about things that probably mean nothing. But I do want to ask you this, Brandon, because I did see it on social media earlier today as well. It sounds like the Huskers are going to arrive a day earlier to Maryland than usual. And some people made a big stink about that. And I want to know, what is this something that we need to be concerned about? Why are they doing this? I personally think it's a big deal about nothing. But any reason why they're showing, any idea of why you think they're showing up earlier than they normally would? Is the government shut down and they're trying to worry about, you know, air traffic controllers? Or are they waiting? Do they want to get there the same day the equipment gets there? Like, what's your opinion on that? Big deal or no big deal?
No, I don't think it's a big deal. Now, if they lose the game, it'll become a bigger deal, I suppose. But, you know, according to rule, Maryland is right outside of D.C., but, like, you know, you don't really stay in College Park. I've only been there one time, but it's kind of the universities there and, like, all the, you know, businesses you'd expect to support a thriving student body and not a whole lot else. So they'll stay someplace close to D.C., I believe, or maybe in Maryland. But they've got a little bit of a bus ride. I think it was Lutovsky speaking this week said he appreciates it. One thing he doesn't like about road games is kind of get there. Like, everything is managed, and it feels like you get off the plane and you have something to do until it's game time. So this will give them a little bit, I think, more just get acclimated. And we'll see how it goes. when Rule was talking this week about them taking their chefs on the road, I was like, man, this not a bad time. Not that it was ever a bad time, but it's really not a bad time to be a Husker football player in terms of the resources right. available to them.
Yeah. Right. Well, I just feel like I don't think it's anything more than, you know, we've heard this about Rule. It was true of Tom Osborne. I don't think it's anything more than like turning over every rock you can to try to give yourself every advantage possible. It's not a matter like there were a couple of people against just social media, but there were a couple of people commenting on sort of making it a toughness argument about, oh, they really can't get there the day before. And like what, like if like that extra sleep or extra days acclimation to the 1 hour time change or whatever, if that gives you a 1% more chance or helps you play 1% better, it was worth it. Right. If bringing your chefs,
take that advantage.
Bringing your chefs on the road makes you, you know, 2% more likely to play better or whatever, then it was worth it. Like, I don't even understand why this stuff doesn't even need to be discussed. We have like, look, college football is king over everything else when it comes to resources, and it takes the cake over class too, right? It really does. Like, I'm not saying whether it should, but it does. And so I just don't understand why this is even a discussion. Like, if anything you think can give you an advantage, you should do within the bounds of the rules and, of course, legality and morality and all those things.
Sure. Well, it's like, and Coach Rule's staff, to me, has placed a lot of emphasis on the things they can control, right? The food, nutrition, sports science, psychology stuff, like all that stuff matters. I think it does anyway. I mean, like you said, TJ, Tom Osborne had, you know, remember when he had Dr. Jack Stark, right? They were one of the first, I think, to use sports psychology. And that was like in the early 90s. And you know, there's enough science and studies out there that, you know, 1 hour difference in your day, waking up an hour earlier, you know, time zone changes, those things affect people in different ways. So
yeah,
I have no problem with it. And I think the people saying that they're soft or that, you know, whatever, I think that's just ridiculous.
And I'll piggyback on what TJ said, common fans, all within the rules of the program, all within the laws, right? We're not like the Michigan Astros, who we only lost two by 3 points, mind you, by only 3 points. We're not like the Michigan Astros. We are all doing this legally to get every advantage we can get.
That's an excellent point, Jeff. We're not getting aided by the college football industrial complex to steal signs or anything like that.
Oh, it's me. Hey, sorry about that. Hey, I don't know if you guys knew this, and more specifically, Brandon. Nebraska's got a chance to go to be 6-2 or 7-1 going to the USC game. You know, we're assuming that we're not going to lose all three of the next games. We'd like to win, you know, two of the next three, maybe all three of them. I mean, to us on this program, that would seem like a real improvement and some real momentum for our program. Brandon, how important are these next three games?
I think they're pretty big. And I now think, I didn't think this in the offseason, I think this week against Maryland, based on what we've learned so far this year, probably the biggest one. I think it's going to be the toughest one. No disrespect to Minnesota. It kind of scares me to say that because that was the game I had identified all kind of off-season long. Of like, oh, there's your game where you got to go to Minnesota. It ends up being on a Friday night. And it's, you know, Nebraska's just had problems with Minnesota. Gophers haven't been quite as good as I thought they would be, but I would still expect that to be a pretty tough game. But with what I've seen from Maryland, this is the one. And if you get past this one, I do like Nebraska's chances to go 4-0, which I wrote about this during the off week after Michigan, man. Like, you could look at it and say they got a chance to win those. I always expected 3-1. I was like, that's kind of what it adds up to. Like, you get into a tough Big Ten game somewhere along the line, and you draw one. But at 6-2, going into November with, you know, that Penn State game sure looks a lot different. USC game doesn't look any easier. In fact, it might look a little more difficult. Blah, blah, no. You got Otto in there. And, oh, by the way, UCLA just beat Penn State. So, but you'd have a chance. You'd be 6-2. At that point, I think that's right about where the playoff rankings come out. Like, you're in the discussion. Like, you're probably outside the top 25, you know, depending on what happens. But you're getting talked about in that room.
That's actually a question I was going to ask you too, Brent. I thought of, like, at what point do we become a ranked team? Like, if we beat Maryland, do we have to beat Maryland and Minnesota? Like, when do we break the top 25? Like, what's our ceiling there for wins? Like, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, so I think they were fourth or fifth in terms of receiving votes. So, you know, we're 29th, 30th. It's probably mostly dependent on what happens to teams in the top 25. Although maybe a win over 4-1 Maryland is enough for Nebraska to jump in there, you know, based on kind of that alone.
Yeah.
So, like, they're right there. And all you can do is keep winning and see what happens. But I think they're starting to get noticed a little bit.
I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I'm intrigued by what you said about Minnesota. And I think part of it is just because I think many in Husker Nation are so sick of losing to those guys and losing to PJ Fleck and, you know, wanting to. And I think it was Chattel who said it on the Pick Six podcast last week. It's a really good point, and I can't claim it as my own. But, like, a point that he made was basically, like, a good barometer for sort of the program taking the next step is not really beating Penn State. It's beating Maryland and Minnesota and Michigan State, like, winning those games consistently. And, like, that's the next step. So I think it's important as we think about sort of the growth of the program, especially Minnesota, because they've been, you know, should have beat them a couple times, but we just, you know, that's been a real thorn in our side. But not just for the growth of the program, but because everyone just pretty much hates PJ Fleck. So do you want to add a little more on that one in particular, on what you've seen from them so far?
Yeah, so I think part of the reason, you know, I kind of viewed Minnesota as a fringe top 25 team, which was, you know, why I thought that was a kind of a tough one, just timing wise to you. It's a back-to-back road game on a short week. Now, so, and those things are all still true, but we'll see what Minnesota's doing health wise. Like, they dealt with some injuries at running back, which has been big. I think their quarterback has been better than expected, so that's, you know, a point in the Gophers column in terms of what they're doing there. But defensively, they've kind of been, I don't know, far off the pace, but significantly off the pace of what I expected from that group and from what we've typically seen. And then point in Nebraska's column, I think the big difference so far that we've seen, maybe knock on wood if you're superstitious, is Nebraska's been able to avoid, like, the big mistakes to this point. And that's different. You think back to Matt Rule's first game, that opener against Minnesota. Like, that was a game defined by Nebraska's mistakes, and it was 13-10. I don't think they make those same kind of mistakes now, or at least they haven't.
Yeah, appreciate you adding that caveat at the end. They haven't been yet so far yet. But I mean, I think, yeah, I just think it feels better this year. Like, everything, like, things, many things look better. But what I don't know about you guys, what I can't get out of my mind is like they started 5-1 last year too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, last year overall, on the whole, last year was a step forward. But I think 6-6 again would be a disappointment, especially after starting 4-1 and looking at where the schedule is right now. And so it's just like, even, you know, it would feel like such a huge accomplishment to get to USC at 6-2 or 7-1. Feel like there's probably, there's reasonably two more wins out there, you know, UCLA and Iowa. I'm not predicting those or guaranteeing those. I'm just saying like, okay, those are both definitely games we can win. And then looking at USC and Penn State, I mean, I'm not ruling those out either, but I'm just like, if we got to USC at 5-4 or something, then it's suddenly like, oh, we're doing this dance again. So I don't know. To me, these next three games feel, they almost feel bigger than USC or Penn State in terms of thinking about the trajectory of the program and needing to start winning a lot of these games.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, another, I think, key factor to that is like the power of being able to score points is significant here. Like we think back to 2023, 2024, Nebraska, they struggled to score 20 points against, you know, a power conference opponent. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you got to play pretty clean. See also Iowa. And Nebraska wasn't able to do that. So just being able to put up points, I mean, to give up 7 sacks and lose by 3 to Michigan, not that we're looking for moral victories, you know, so many weeks on from that, but that was, it's like, that's what being able to score 27 against a team like that does for you. And mm-hmm. being able to sustain 5 sacks and still get a double digit win against Michigan State. Being able to put points up is probably the biggest change overall.
Yeah. Well, Matt, Jeff, you guys got anything else for our esteemed guest?
I had a thought, I suppose.
Oh, well, good. Let's not miss out on Jeff's thoughts.
I'm just curious here. Brandon does this for a living, so I understand. He rewatches games, looks at tape and stuff like that. Oh, I've heard you say it before. You rewatched the last game or rewatched part of it. For people in our text thread, rewatch games. I mean, I guess my question is for you guys, not Brandon, but for you, how do you have time for that? Like, how do you have time to rewatch an entire football game?
There's this thing called, you can actually, when you rewatch it, Jeff, you can fast forward.
Yeah, I understand. But it's just,
and then also YouTube TV has the watch key plays feature, which I love. So if you don't want to sit and watch the whole game and fast forward, you can just watch like the 30 key plays or whatever and get a pretty good idea of what happened.
Just curious.
I like to do research for this little podcast that we do, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
I'm the only one that doesn't rewatch games.
Oh, I love rewatching wins. I'm not always able to do it, just to your point about or time reasons. But I feel like between watching the game and then reading everything I can get my hands on after the game, and then usually like at least the key plays are all over Twitter with 17 different people commenting on them. So you're at least able to like rewatch what happened on this play, what happened on that play or whatever. But I will never rewatch a loss. But I love rewatching wins. So if I have the time or whatever, I'm able, I do that. But yeah, Jeff, given that you're a co-host of a Nebraska football podcast, if you occasionally wanted to, if you wanted to read a counter read article, for instance, or I don't know if you get that, maybe your parents, maybe you could borrow a newspaper from your parents, down. Jeff.
I'll also put in a word for, I think one of the best things BTN's ever done is BTN and 60.
Oh yeah.
60 minute versions of the games. So you can check those out. And then my dirty little secret for how I watch not just Nebraska games, but I don't watch the NFL. That's just a personal preference. So that opens up a little bit of time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Brandon, what's new coming out of the Counter Read? Again, go to counterread.com to find all of Brandon's great work. What's going on at Counter Read?
Yeah, so as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, kind of into our regular season rhythm here. So it's about 4 times a week newsletter from myself and my colleague, Aaron Sorensen. Mondays have become kind of my big picture react, whatever we saw previous week from the Huskers, and then Thursdays are usually my favorite thing to write each week, which is the game previews. I just kind of enjoy the puzzle of looking at a team like Maryland, who, you know, you know, get a chance to watch them every week, but I try to put the puzzle together and see where they're strong and Nebraska maybe not, and where Nebraska's strong and maybe Maryland's not. And I take the approach of kind of giving three checkpoints for the game, which is another thing about that Michigan State game. Sorry. Nebraska hit all three. So that was kind of a good check for myself. I was like, well, they did everything I thought they probably needed to do. Why don't I feel better about the double-digit win?
Do you, and I don't want to scoop whatever you got coming out later in the week, but do you want to proffer a prediction for the Maryland game?
Sure. I think I'm landing in the range. I think this is going to be tough. I think Maryland has the defense to make things difficult, specifically, and they're coming in a little wounded, unlike Nebraska. So I do think the Huskers get a win, but I'd be somewhere right now in the range of 24-21.
Oof! Oh. So we're gonna be sweating on Saturday.
You're biting nails.
Yep. I think so.
That means that we're gonna be getting text messages from TJ every 5 minutes. Multiple expletives. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun.
We might have to just mute him. We might have to mute his notifications. Jeff, it's too manic. I don't go up and down like that during a game, you know, especially early on. Figure something out.
That's just for laughs, guys. You haven't figured that out yet?
It is absolutely not.
Well, it's a bit.
We may never lose another game again.
Yeah. by the end, we're never going to lose again.
I'm sure a lot of common fans can relate.
Sure.
Brandon, awesome to have you back. Great to talk to you, my friend. Love everything at the counterread.com and always enjoy reading that as well.
Yeah, guys, thanks a lot for having me back. It's always a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So Common Fans, we'll be back at you after the Maryland game will be our next episode. So in the meantime, be kind to each other, Common Fans. We'll be back at you very soon. Until then, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.